Bless us with the love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the stole of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
For folks who are new to practice, there are back jacks back there in the corner that you're welcome to get to use during the group discussion if you'd like. So what shall we look at this morning?
I had this kind of amazing experience yesterday. We just got a bunch of firewood delivered.
Uh-huh.
And so when it's delivered, it's piled in our driveway,
mm-hmm.
a mountain in our driveway, and then we haul it inside the fence and stack it. And so it was a big enough pile that it took several days to stack. And so we had, I mean, this happens every year, and it's no big deal. And then recently we just heard about some theft in the neighborhood. And so I was aware of some anxiety about the firewood being left in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday we were coming back from someplace and I knew there was still a bit of a pile in the driveway, and as we were coming back, I just had this image of what would happen if someone were there, and what arose, just arose in me, was imagining like getting a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't imagine actually shooting anyone, but I mean like threatening someone with,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with that, and I thought, whoa, now there is a really interesting response.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Almost like your own response surprised you.
Totally.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it just arose.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I imagined a person uh-huh. there, that's what arose.
Uh-huh.
So I have had a lot of, and it's been very interesting to look at that,
because yeah.
it was a little shocking.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things I saw was, you know, sometimes in the world out there, there's a whole lot of vitriol right now,
mm-hmm.
and sort of groups of people being vicious toward other groups of people and that kind of thing. And there's been a part of just sort of not getting why would you respond so violently. But I saw it,
yeah.
you know, that if you believe that a group of people.
Yeah.
Threatens your world.
Yeah.
That you would have, I mean, that reaction would just arise
yeah.
in the same way. That
yeah.
you have to do something. You have to get rid of them.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is where you're headed, but as you were saying that, what I saw was, and if you don't have a practice that assists you in
exactly.
seeing, that's simply what arose. It's not necessarily what I now have to do. That, in fact, that doesn't even really necessarily have anything to do with me. It's just what arose. Then, of course, if I don't have that practice, then that's what arises. That's what I'm going to do. There's no way to break
exactly.
that succession.
Yeah, if I don't get that I'm simply responding from beliefs,
yeah.
if I believe my beliefs,
yeah.
then of course I have to do something
yeah.
with that.
Yeah,
yeah. I saw that and was very grateful for practice.
Yeah.
Very grateful to get that I just have to watch that. I just have to
yeah.
see it.
Yeah.
And then I was just seeing, you know, that, like the levels of illusion,
mm-hmm.
you know, that the illusion that there is an I
mm-hmm.
that has to protect herself,
mm-hmm.
and that she possesses
mm-hmm.
things that
yes.
have to be protected,
yes.
that she has the right to protect,
yes.
the responsibility we take. Yeah. And then I, you know, and what, part of what was fun was I was able to see that with all of that with no self-hate, which is praise God.
Mm-hmm. Not going to a place of the voices, letting the voices judge you for that or have an opinion about you, but just simply seeing it.
Right.
Just all things that arose in this human.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the voices did have judgments and opinions, but I didn't, I just saw them as part of the process.
Right.
So, you know, on the one hand, conditioning was saying, you know, get them. The other hand, conditioning was saying, divest yourself of all possessions.
Right,
you can't handle it. And getting it, I don't have to do anything except see this.
Yeah.
And just, it was a sense of extending compassion in the sense of, I get. And of course, in my way, I do the same thing in groups of people. I'm just not as conscious of it.
Yeah.
But I get how we do that to one another.
Yeah, and that is so, it is compassion. Inspiring, isn't it? To really see, because to kind of have that experience of, gosh, why do you people do those things?
Right.
I can't imagine that. You know, it's almost a what's wrong with you place, isn't
exactly.
it?
Yep.
Which is just another version of, I mean, what's wrong, whether it's me or you or whatever.
Yep.
It's all coming from conditioned something.
And I'm doing the same thing to them, but I see that they're doing it. That's supposedly baffles me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But to be able to have the presence of watching yourself do exactly what you're seeing someone else do and realize, oh, I see where that comes from.
Right.
Really does engender so much compassion.
It does. And then the other thing I was looking at was, one of the things conditioning said was, for God's sake, Penny, you illustrated a story about a monk who was being robbed and, you know, gave away all his possessions to the robber and wanted to give him the moon, and, you know, and I didn't really go.
I love it. For God's sake, Penny, it's like, who is this talking to me?
And what I wanted to say was that you sort of shouldn't do anything. And I thought, well, I don't think that's the response either.
And what I
came out was, I don't know what the response is, because
that's
you can't
right.
plan ahead what the
that's
response
exactly
would be.
Right.
In the realm of ideas,
that's exactly
there's
right.
no response.
Yeah.
There can only be responding in the moment.
Yeah.
And the only way to respond in the moment from compassion is not to be an I
that's right.
who is responding. And it felt like I wasn't there yet.
Yeah, that's right.
But it was good to see.
It wasn't happening. Conditioning's taking you into
right.
an imaginary reality and then
right.
trying to think of what you would do about it.
Right.
But in fact, the truth is, if you drove up and that were happening, who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe you would help her load her truck and off it goes. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah.
And we won't know, and we don't need to know.
Right.
Because when we're here in the moment,
right.
life is, you know, taking care of all of it.
Right.
And we're just present and willing to be there for
right.
it.
Right, yeah. And then the final thing I just wanted to say was that what came up for me was it's kind of like, you know, believing that there's this I who owns these things is kind of, it is kind of one of the original forms of taking what is not given.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking an identity which is not given, taking things that are not given.
Yeah.
And that's the initial, that's the real theft.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's the real takeover.
Yeah.
And that's the thing to pay attention to,
yeah.
not
yeah.
my firewood.
Yeah, it's a very subtle place to look, because it feels like, well, it is my firewood, I paid for it. Okay, but I mean, if we really start following that back,
right.
okay, where did that money come from, and how did that, and how did
right.
that, and how did that, and pretty, with, you know, a short period of time, back to, wow, it's all one thing,
mm-hmm.
it's all connected.
Right, yeah. And I simply wouldn't know what to do until it happened.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've been looking at how conversations inside of my head are very dangerous things.
There's nothing
things
helpful
happen.
About them.
There's nothing helpful about
yeah.
them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I wanted to talk about it today because I got a couple of chances to have it really clearly illustrated, like to see, because there was a conversation probably of like, I don't know if it's really that big of a deal kind of a thing, like, yeah, I know that we're supposed to be present, but sometimes I'm just kind of thinking about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's really that bad.
Nothing's happening.
Yeah.
It's not doing anything bad.
Exactly. I mean, is this really, you know?
Well, that's the conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then seeing how that is a precursor to,
yeah.
you know, really rough experiences, and that it's that it's the, you know, what we've been saying, kind of the on-ramp to conditioning, you know, it's creating that path that conditioning can just always be, it's like strengthening a relationship with conditioning, which I do not wish to do, even if I can, you know, fall for sometimes, is this really a big deal, you know.
It really is just like any other addiction, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
So, well, you know, just a little. No big deal. It's not like I'm getting drunk. I mean, just a little.
Yeah.
But again, yes, that's all well and good. But as you say, what that's doing is that's strengthening the addiction, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so then when I'm really in big trouble with it, I have no way to get out of it.
Yeah.
Because that it's such a locked system at that point, and the habit to be there is so strong that exiting when I want to is unavailable to me. Mm-hmm.
It's just, where do I go? The groove is so well worn that I go to conditioned mind. So to try to make the leap to go to life, to go someplace else is challenging when I've been strengthening that relationship over and over in these, you know, seemingly harmless conversations. So I, you know, I kind of was curious about like, okay, you know, I know that we talk about this in practice. I know this seems like a good concept, but what does that actually look like? You know, when the rubber meets the road, like how does a human do that moment by moment? What is that, you know?
Yeah.
So I was playing with a practice of coming back to the breath.
Mm-hmm.
So just whenever I would notice, no standards about it, I might be gone for, you know, 5 hours and then come back to the breath once and whatever, you know, and playing with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I practiced with that yesterday, and it was amazing. I mean, I don't want to get into like that was a right good experience either, but it was just amazing to see the quality of the life experience that was available in doing that.
Yeah, it's completely different.
Completely different. And then what was so fascinating was I woke up this morning and I couldn't even remember, like, what was that practice I was going to do?
Oh, yeah, anyone else?
It was like completely
gone.
It was like I was seeing this whole, you know, life-changing possibility, and this morning, like, no idea what that even was, you know? So, like, an hour of recordings later, I'm finally starting to, maybe, I guess, I don't know, it doesn't sound that exciting, but I guess maybe I want to do that breath thing, you know? I mean, it's just amazing how it's just, you know.
Well, and, you know, often we talk about aspects of the personality, and that explains it, doesn't it? I mean, we can feel crazy, like this thing yesterday that was so inspiring and changing my life. Today, first of all, I can't even remember what it was, and then when I do, it seems like pretty boring, and I don't really want to, but gosh, maybe I'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
So different parts of you are there, right?
Yes.
Completely different parts.
Yeah.
And what you're describing is the key to practice, which is the willingness to do it no matter what.
Yeah.
Because so often what we get talked into is, I'll do it when I really want to, when it really feels good, when it really feels like it's, quote, working.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, if we do that, I mean, we're back to the conversation thing, it's all in, it's conditioning's court.
Mm-hmm.
Because sure, it's going to let us do that, to, you know, practice with the breath for a little while, as long as it can keep it conditional. I do it when I want to, I do it when it feels good, I do it when it feels like it's working.
Mm-hmm.
And if it can get us to then not do it as soon as it's boring or I don't really feel like it, then it's still got the entire lock on the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I always love that line of like, willingness is what's there when we don't want to.
That's right.
Just finding that place.
Yeah.
So.
And of course, what you'll prove to yourself over and over is, so you wake up today and there isn't that same open orientation to it. I mean, I predict what happened from what you're talking about is that there was suddenly a real recommitment and it took conditioning a bit off guard.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got an entire day of this really solid practice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully in those moments we record about that, right? Because then we have that to go back to in the mornings when we wake up and that isn't there because conditioning has come in whatever way it's come in. But to find the willingness to do it anyway, what we prove to ourselves is it will start happening again. That life experience of just being in the present moment as I'm truly with the breath, that will break through the conditioning again, again and again and again. And then conditioning will get a hold of it, and then you do it again, and conditioning gets a hold of it, and pretty soon, you know, you realize, wow, I can do this no matter what, whether I feel like it, don't feel like it, want to, whether the quote right person is here to do it or not.
Exactly, yeah, and that's just what I want to practice. I want to strengthen that other pathway,
yeah,
for sure. So it's funny because there's such a sense of like confusion of like, is this even how it works? Am I, you know, I'm so, I suddenly feel like I can't even remember how to come back to the breath, but it's okay. I'll just play with that and know that it's my practice.
And for me, one of the fun things I like to do is just record all the different ways it tries to undermine recommitment. Yeah. So, okay, now it's completely confusing me, and I can't remember, okay, now it's making me forget, okay, now it's, because then you're in the seat of the scientist, watching all the things it does, instead of being the one who is confused, or being the one who doesn't want to, or being the, you're back in that place of just watching all the different things it's going to try to throw at you to undermine your commitment to just simply be here.
Thank you, that's a great thing to practice, I think.
Well, right in alignment with everybody has been talking about this morning. I have this insight this week. You know, it's just like you hear these things and then you hear.
Exactly. And then you actually have the experience.
And then you have the experience. And it was about realizing that everything that goes through this head really has nothing to do with me, and all of the stories and all of the shortcomings and the not meeting standards and it's not even about me.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with me at all, and how much suffering has just been locked into just turning to look at that all the time and being in conversation with it and being in conversation with this fictitious reality, and really wasting a life on this this relationship that is what it is.
So realizing that all of it, all of that conversation, all of the kind of assessment, the just judgment, none of it is you. And to be in conversation with it, in relationship with it at all, is not where you want to be. It's essentially wasting your life.
Yeah, it's, it's it's just gotten, it's my head stuck in the muck.
Yeah.
And then there's this whole other possibility that is authentically who this being is.
Exactly. That's the irony, isn't
it? It's the irony, and that's available to be present to that, and to have a, to have a life beyond my my wildest dreams.
Yeah.
And it's a shift of attention.
So if I'm following what you're saying, it's sort of like, so here's all this, who I am, this, not quite right, or need to fix this, or that's not okay, or let me just work on this, or, and supposedly getting through all that murky, I think you said, to get me to where I know I can be, where I should be, where I want to be, right, all this place. And the irony you're realizing is that this place, that whatever words you would put to that, that, open, peaceful, joyful, expansive, beautiful, all those words we've put to that, that place, that's who you authentically are. And the only thing keeping you from it is this belief that you have to get through this, all this murky stuff in order to get there.
Gosh, all the years of therapy, all the money, all the, and just, hours and hours of being noodling all of this stuff to try and figure it out.
Well, and it's funny because it's like even that could be the on-ramp back into a conversation, couldn't it? Oh my gosh, it took forever.
Exactly. Look, all the time I wasted, I could have done it,
And to realize in that moment of truly, truly getting it, even all of that is not a problem.
No.
None of it is a problem.
Yeah.
It's like it took everything to get me to this point to really, really realize this.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just developed a little mantra of, That's, well, now I can't remember what my thoughts
were. It's recorded, I'm sure.
Yeah, I did write it down, but, you know, that's not me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, just something to bring your attention back right. to what you know is true. Because as we were just looking at, conditioning is going to try like crazy to take that away from you, to cover that over in some way.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing after that, just how it started breaking up really old stuff that I had hasn't percolated up in a long time. But yeah. Really, you know, really deep old stuff.
Oh, perfect, isn't it? You think you're okay? Well, what about this in third grade? Did you ever think about it?
That was really
that you, it really proves that
you're So anyway, it's kind of, it's been fun.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Exciting.
I'm starting to get a sense that practice feels like a gladiator sport.
Can you say more?
Yeah, I can. Well, it's like, it's ironic in a way, but that the actual sport is in the attention, and it's kind of like, what's been talked about this morning is that it's like training in doing anything, you know, just having that experience of, like I've been, for a while there, I was doing these workouts where it felt like I was learning about how the body works, I was learning about how nutrition works, I was learning about all these different aspects of it. Mm-hmm. And it feels like what I was doing was creating a conducive environment for being able to successfully do something to achieve something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're creating an environment to be able to successfully do something to achieve something.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the kind of gross form of it to get like, you know, for if you were like trying to work on doing something for an outcome or a particular experience, you know, it would be like gardening is another example too. You know, just, that's often used as well, where, you know, I do something with the soil, like I tend to, so I make everything hospitable for something to happen in. Mm-hmm. And it takes my doing it in order to achieve, because if I don't, the forces of not doing it are going to have whatever they do to achieve that as well. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's like the weeds start coming and the critters start gnawing and, you know, for the gardening thing and for the working out, it's just, the pounds start coming back on.
So for a human, for a garden, it's sort of nature, if you will, takes back over and just whatever it's going to do with the weeds and the critters.
Which
for humans, it seems to be that conditioned mind is what takes back over.
Well, because it's like the survival system that was developed when we were teeny is kind of like the default setting.
Right.
It's not what we grew into. It's kind of like the seed never had anything, you know, it's still okay, exactly the way it is.
Yeah, just waiting to sprout. And
just waiting for sprout. Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting to watch it in that sense that if I could put all of my attention onto achieving something, and we've all done it with whether it be tying our shoes or something like that kind of concentrated focus, then I could do the same thing with directing my attention.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so if I'm following what you're saying, so for a while you were making this concerted effort with exercise and health and that sort of thing, and creating this conducive environment for a certain outcome, and that you could apply that same, you know, commitment, if that's what we're going to do, to
that kind of the spirit of inquiry, like, well, how does one, you know, direct the attention? And it was like, what would one do if, you know, I wanted to direct my attention nonstop and have the life experience that I want because of the fact that I direct my attention. Then I'll come up with reminders.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like literally exactly what we do in practice. It's like reminders. It's I'll have things that buzz to bring my attention back. I'll start learning about how conditioning works, for example, like what it will do to try to trick me.
Yeah. What bugs are going to eat the kale? What bugs are going to eat them?
Yeah. When do they show up? What time of year do we make something with the kale once it's grown?
Yeah.
But it's like, otherwise, I feel like if I kind of like just let things go, kind of like hoping that it'll all just work out, it really isn't serving the purpose, actually.
Yeah. Because, you know, we talk a lot about life takes care of it. You know, we don't need to do anything. what we need to bring to it is being here.
Right.
Because, yeah, life is taking care of it all the time, but if we're constantly up here in a conversation with conditioned mind,
yes,
we're unavailable to life, you know, doing what it's going to do.
Yes.
And so what I hear you saying is that the commitment that we bring to it is staying here.
Yeah.
So not becoming an I who's going to do all of these things.
No.
But rather supporting yourself in it really being present and being here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's, I was tongue in cheek when I was saying glad to be your support. But it at first it does feel like something that I am doing, I'm making a concerted effort, and then we need to, the I is not the part that's actually making it happen. It's it's meeting life halfway,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to, it's like that old joke, I need to buy a lottery ticket in order to win,
mm-hmm, right?
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you have to be present.
I have to be present. That's my part of the bargain.
Yep.
And I have to be, just open. Yep. I don't know how to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Open and kind of curious and interested and focused.
Mm-hmm. So sounds like, again, similar to what other folks have talked about, a recommitment to setting things up in a way that will support you to be present, to be able to be, to have your attention here.
Yeah, I mean, it just completely makes sense to do it because it's like it's a structure, it's a foundation, it's everything else really just falls back in line.
Yep.
Once that is, it's like, once I'm trustworthy enough to be, that I'm on state, that I'm on kind of a good footing.
Yep, everything else takes care of itself.
Everything literally does, it's my experience all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny how conditioning will try to talk me into thinking that I need to focus on the stuff of life.
That's right.
In order to make things happen.
You gotta solve this thing and that thing,
exactly,
and get that organized and do this and you.
Yeah, make lists, you know, become an expert at this or learn something. No, I just have to stay here and the next thing that I need to know or do will drop in.
Will appear.
Yeah. Yep. It's far more relaxing to live in an environment where I could just jump and do what it is I need to do. I imagine that's what like a really good sports player must feel like when they go out there and just all they're doing at that point is, because of all the training, is they're just doing what comes naturally to them.
That's right.
You know,
that's
they can actually just be there and...
Yeah. Yeah, because can you imagine an elite athlete out on the court, like, thinking about it, right? Okay, well, oh, there's that shot. Now, if I could get my racket on that...
No,
forget about it.
No, it isn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, it's just...
But at the same time, to follow your analogy, if I had the practice at all, it's not as if I'm going to be able to return, you know, whatever.
Right.
John McEnroe, I'm sure that's way right. I'm still alive, but I was at the monastery. To return his serve, there's no way. You know, I have to have practice. And it's the exact same thing we're looking at with Jen, really, is that so often that's what we expect. I'm going to kick back, and then I'm going to get on the court with whoever, Venus Williams there, that's better. I'm going to get on the court and I'm going to do okay. No way.
No way,
you know, we
right.
can't wait until the stakes are so high.
Yes.
We've got to be practicing. If it's what we want, not
if
because
that's what we
should or not because it's good,
exactly.
But if what we want is to have our lives and be here and be present, we got to be in the game all the time. And we learn to love that.
Yes.
We learn to love the daily practice of it. And then when we are in those big stakes situations, we actually love that too.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a chance to really, you know, get out there and practice what we've been doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it, thank you.
Thank you.
Jim? I love to watch other people practice. I love to watch other people be in the moment. Doing it myself, not so much.
It's interesting, though, from a projection perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'd like to be able to project how present they are.
Uh-huh. We can only guess.
Sitting very still and doing absolutely nothing.
But it's interesting. I mean, truly, I'm just looking at it. I don't know if this is so, but that if one were truly to follow that projection back, you would have to assume in that moment you're practicing being present. And the only thing that would you know, potentially negate that would be a conversation laid on top of it of, look at me, I'm watching that person be present, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And perhaps, you know, what a person needs, perhaps it's a matter of degree also. Mm-hmm. There, perhaps it would be good to switch occasionally and actually be the person. Responding in the moment.
And I
rather more often than watching.
Than watching, yeah. And what I wonder is if the self-hate were stripped out of.
That's what I've been looking at.
Yeah. Would you want to? Would you want to get on the court yourself more often?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually what I've been thinking about is. It's clear to me that there are places in my life where there's a lot of willingness and enthusiasm, presence, and generosity, all those things. Mm-hmm. And then there are other places where practice has just made virtually just almost no inroads, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that, and that means something. It means I'm a better person.
Right.
It means I'm not a good learning student, mm-hmm. etc. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's hard to convince myself that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear that. That all that really needs to happen is to take the self-hate out of it, as you say.
Yeah.
That's pretty much really it.
Yeah.
That as just gut-wrenchingly difficult as it is to believe it,
mm-hmm.
it's not content.
That's right.
It isn't content predicated. It's in the moment that we're going through the days.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very difficult to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as self-hate is such a major player, mm-hmm. it will always be about content.
That's right. In fact, that's the only way it can stay in control, is to convince us that it is about content.
No, I guess I do have something else to say. When we talk about just being present,
mm-hmm.
kind of all the time,
mm-hmm.
bringing your attention to that,
mm-hmm.
I'm often identified just a little bit
yeah.
with, I can, that I often hear that
mm-hmm.
with a resistance.
Yeah.
Because, what, because it means something.
Yeah.
It means
right.
that someone is going to be deprived.
Uh-huh.
That's what it comes down to.
Uh-huh.
And that's all it takes
mm-hmm.
to
yeah.
dismiss it.
That's right.
It's just too hard. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. think one of the most amazing things, I mean, Sherry says this over and over and over, and I know for me it's incredibly hard to really, really take it in. It doesn't matter what we're present to, just that we're present. And so I project, I know it's true for me, and I project for everyone, we all have our version of what you're talking about. So we hear that, you know, we're going to be present in every moment, and we take that in just a degree off center from a place of resistance of no, because whatever that is. Because for almost all of us, conditioning is giving us an idea of what that means to be present. Mm-hmm. I can't, I don't want to, blah, 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 blah. But being present to that is being present. Being present to whatever I'm doing, being present to as I watch other people be present. To, I mean, it's all, that's all being present, that's all we're talking about.
So really, 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 really isn't content.
Really, 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 really isn't. I mean, I just, what just came up for me was going to be fun. I'm going to try to make the commitment to be exactly the way, in my case, Jen always is, and be fully present to it. Because, of course, what's going to happen is, as we're present, another way is going to arise. No, no, no. No, we're doing the thing Jen always does. You know, she always gets irritated when the, you know, just play with it in that way of, because what conditioning wants to do is the minute we really get present, the way it pulls us back in is, okay, good, from now on I'm gonna always, no, we're just being present to it.
So in this moment I'm present to the voice that says, well, that's just license. Mm-hmm. To just indulge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, how do you know that? Mm-hmm. We'll see. Because, you know, of course, especially for someone like you, who's so involved and so right here with Sangha, you know, if something goes crazy with that practice, Tuesday night, you're going to be back, Thursday night, you know, Sunday morning, you're going to be back here to look at. You got a whole email class. I mean, do you know? The stakes are really low. And it wants to talk us into, oh my gosh, that is just going to take us in a really bad rock. It's like, really? Huh. Well, I've tried this for a really long time, being in the same relationship with this conversation. I think I'll just shake it up a little, try something else.
So I realized a lot lately that I've been in a place of just noticing how this being and other beings seem to be. I mean, what they do, what they think, and there is the just noticing it. But I noticed that there's two things I fall into. One is, okay, so like say I'm doing a task and a whole bunch of parts of me are there who don't like it and aren't uncomfortable, and so I just see that that's going on, and I'm pretty able not to really fully believe it and get caught by it.
Mm-hmm.
But
kind of seeing that it's there.
Yeah, that's just what's there, and yet I'm going ahead and doing it. And yet there will come up a story up a level of, yeah, but how is it always going to be this way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's so I'm not really believing that that's about me in the moment, but I am believing that that is so me that, gosh, I'm really, is that what I'm stuck with?
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, is that who Nikki was going to be the rest of her life, you know? So it's that which is a kind of a judging place, you know, a kind of, in a way, sort of what June was talking about
looking at other people and saying, well, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it takes you into this kind of dreary future where, oh my gosh, is this what I'm stuck with? It's always going to be this way.
And then there's also kind of just a curiosity of, wow, you know, this whole construct is so familiar and so colors my world. Mm-hmm. I just wonder, you know, what's it I'm not, you know, what is it that's there when that's not?
Yeah.
You know, and I can just see how this whole world that's constructed in my head keeps me in a bubble that is so not seeing what's really there, you know, and I can either go into despair about that, or I can just go into, wow,
amazing,
you know, and I just saw an example of it today. I was looking through an alumni bulletin from a school where I used to teach, you know, and I was looking at these stories and pictures, and you know, I recognized I was right back there.
Yeah.
You know, I was in that world, I was in that place, I was having that experience, and yet I was sitting on my couch in Murphy's, you know, which is doesn't look anything like
it. Yeah.
And I
and
just
that's what it's designed to do, isn't it? To pull you back into that world.
I mean, just you know, there I was, and it, you know, pretty much all of me was there. And I just thought, you know, there's a clear example where it's just a certain thing that's creating that. But really, when I walk around all day long, I've got the same thing happening. It's just that it's so familiar that it feels like it's
real.
And
now I'm really in my life.
It's not. It's just the story. It's the story of my life. It's the picture of my life.
Yeah. It's what all those movies are trying to depict when they talk about, you know, those false realities that seem like this is my life, this is really real and true, like, you know, the Matrix or the whatever all those.
So it's just, I don't know, I'm just, I think more of the time I'm just fascinated by how I live in this bubble that seems like me. And probably has nothing to do with anything.
And it's funny, isn't it? This is sort of one of those subtle places that we've been talking about in practice for the last number of months, is that we don't want to get waylaid in that conversation either.
Right?
Because to become fascinated by what it's doing to me and how it's doing it to me can keep me in that same, whereas to just take that as another cue to just, okay, got it. Just like you started the morning with, you know, just freedom. Just freedom.
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean, my gosh, I mean, this is a false reality that, just freedom. You know, because pretty soon what happens for us is that in that really just being here, the world does become, like people are talking about, vibrant and just amazing and right here and just what it is, and no assessment of, oh my gosh, am I always going to be this way, and is it always going to be this way?
And I was suspecting, and I actually went through just before I was talking, was that one of my suspicions is that because I have had more of those experiences lately where I have just been there, and is that part of that story is conditioning's new attempt to get me into some other conversation.
All right, she's not going to fall for the usual one.
That's right. Okay, she sees how that story about her life is not real.
Yeah.
So let's,
let's
invent a new
story about that.
That's right. About how your life isn't real at all. That's
really.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
What can we get her mind
yeah.
attached to
yeah.
so that she's not having that experience of being
yeah.
here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're back to any conversation.
Any conversation. Any conversation.
A good one that I like, I was just telling someone this recently, is a little guideline of, if I'm going to have a conversation, it has to be with the mentor. So the minute I realize there's a conversation happening, two choices, drop it, or make it out loud, I'm using quote marks, because even if it's just in my head, it's sort of conscious with the mentor. So really, it's an interesting filtering system, because it really comes down to, now, do I really need to be having this conversation about something that's happening 2 weeks from now that it's not, you know, no, I don't. But if it's something that feels like, there's some part of me that's something going on and wants to talk about it, great, mm-hmm. talk to the mentor. Mm-hmm. You know, it just brings it all up to a conscious level.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. Yeah.
Thank you.
Jeff?
So I'm trying to practice no suffering. Mm-hmm. Radical right. No suffering.
Radical no suffering.
Am I suffering? That's why I ask myself. Am I suffering? And if I am, then we do a next step.
Uh-huh.
Something about it. Usually I.
Usually I'm suffering. usually the answer is yes.
Usually, if I have to ask. Usually,
and what kinds of next steps have you?
It's so great. Usually, I just have to do a little like dance or like yes. just to do something.
Basically, to disidentify yourself from the person who's suffering,
yes.
from the process of suffering.
Yeah, and I had this thought yesterday, which is like, the cure still works even if I don't know what the diagnosis is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who cares?
Exactly. In fact, getting into the diagnosis can be a really dangerous place to go, can't it?
Yeah.
Well, now let's see.
Yeah.
It could be this, it could be that.
Right. Where was I? Who was there? Yeah. Like, all this, like, sometimes, and a lot, I really related to the thing about the athleticism and the sport, and to me, you know, I've been doing, recently it's been like martial arts to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really is like,
yep.
you shouldn't move like this,
yep.
I go like this,
yep.
you shouldn't move like this,
yep.
I go like, it really yep. is that sort of like, in the moment, just bringing, life can give me what I need to get out of it.
Yes. Life can give me what I need. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
instead of what we're so trained to do for a lot of us in practice is to go to the same place to conditioned
yeah.
mind to figure out how to get out of conditioned
yeah.
mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I caught myself doing that yesterday because conditioning is like, how should you get out of suffering? Well, you need to do this.
Let's make a calendar. And then if we get the, and then we did, oh,
yeah.
I know. And then we'll,
yeah.
and from now on,
yes,
we're going to
exactly.
have to.
Always,
yeah.
we're going to always, we're
yeah.
going to always.
yeah. And then never again.
Never again, we're always. And then, but it is, yeah, so it's great to just like, we can just not suffer right now. Let's start with that.
Yeah, yeah. Because the antidote is always the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, right? So it's so that's what makes practice so simple.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily easy, but simple.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the antidote is always to get back here.
Yeah.
Well, but I don't know how to do that. Well, I'm just gonna breathe.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, that's freaking enjoyable.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just gonna breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. Hanging my head upside down really helps. It really helps.
Yeah.
I had this something about like changing the orientation
yeah.
of what I'm seeing. Like
yeah.
I'm you know, practicing like my pants are on fire because
mm-hmm.
Somebody's like, oh, you're gonna go back and you know, it kind of come up a few times like, you know, your ego gets pounded. I mean, I'm out there and my ego's pounded so hard
mm-hmm.
every day.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I just feel like I don't wanna live like that. I don't want
to. Now, just to make that so we don't have any confusion,
yeah.
actually, we do want the ego to be pounded.
Yeah, okay.
What we don't want.
Don't suffer.
What makes that painful is identifying that that is me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when people talk about the ego being pounded,
mm-hmm.
it's a sense of, I mean, in practice.
It sounds terrible.
It is terrible for ego.
So I was like, ooh, that sounds painful. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm up for that all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
See,
okay.
I mean, that's
great.
The thing is when you said that, I thought, well, that's
handy.
And if we change our orientation to it, it is amazing. Because what's being pointed at in that ego being pounded is, you know, I'm humiliated, I'm what, got my feelings hurt, I have to do things I don't want to do. I mean, it's a lot of what people come to the monastery for. I mean, I can make it sound grim, but in the sense of, you know, what's in control of our lives is this system that convinces us that that's me,
mm-hmm.
but I want this, I don't like that, I want to do this, I don't want to do that, I have to be at this temperature, I don't like that. you know, this very controlled way of being.
Yeah.
And so when, in practice, what we're doing is we're exposing that and not, in a sense, giving it what it wants. And in not giving it what it wants, it kicks and screams and feels pounded on. But what happens in that is that if we're willing for it, we get to see, wow, that isn't me. And in fact, my well-being is completely independent of that. And that's where the possibility of freedom and practice comes from.
I'm in the right life because, I mean, the thing I suffer with, I feel like the most out there is, you know, I live in a city where everyone's richer and more well-connected and more beautiful and love me.
Than everyone else.
Like, that's my orientation.
Yeah.
When I'm suffering. So that's what I suffer over the most. And it's very easy. I just have to walk out my door and look at someone else and project at that person also.
Yeah.
So that's my, that's the system that I live in.
Yeah, and there you go. So really two starkly different choices, but the exact same content with that, right? One is to believe that's you and to be hideously suffering all of the time. Because I'm ugly, I'm poor, I'm not successful, I'm blah, blah, blah. Or in that, to take it as an opportunity to go, wow, ego's this, oh, there's ego. It doesn't like this, it doesn't like that. Oh, it's not it. I mean, to really, truly, to have the ego be sort of not satiated in any of those ways, if we're disidentified from it, can be a grand and glorious thing.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the great things about practice, I mean, it's miraculous that I get any relief from that at all, I feel like, over the years. It's just like, it's how that has, how this life has, this little green patch, you know, of life has grown in the middle of all that.
Like Central Park.
Yeah, like Central Park, exactly. I know this works. It totally works for me. And so it's definitely, it feels like, there's a lot to practice with there.
Well, and when we get it, that same thing is going on for every other person you encounter.
Yeah. No, I get on the subway and I look at everyone that's beautiful, and I was like, I know that everyone are. I just project that many people are feeling the satisfaction and the same experience.
Yep.
It's the ending of that place, and you know, probably
of humanity, as far as we can tell.
Yeah. So I can see when how that sort of thing isolates me. I'm experiencing this. I'm the only one experiencing this.
Yeah.
Everyone else is, you know, happy, joyous, and free.
And rich and beautiful and famous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is an old story.
Yeah. I mean, that's an old story. And what an opportunity, really, to be, it's sort of the image of a bodhisattva, isn't it? To be in the middle of that, especially in a place that's such a mecca of representing all of that, to be willing to be, you know, someone who's taking a stand for everything's okay exactly as it is. There's nothing wrong. You know, we're all, I mean, literally, we're all beautiful. We're all wealthy beyond imagining.
Yeah.
You know, we're all, what life, the abundance that life provides to all of us, too. And to be willing to just be that in the middle of something like that, you know, what a service to everyone.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It's, I'm like, why do I live there? I don't know. I do know. But,
That's one of those things, to look at in our lives, isn't it? So, because we all think we're victims in our lives. Oh my God, I've been in this place where blah, blah, blah. Okay, we'll move. Well, no, I don't want to move. I mean, you know, can't because da, da, da.
Okay.
So to really be, you know, it's such a place of, we can stand up and be the grown-up and say, hey, I'm choosing this and here's how I'm going to practice with it.
Yeah. No, it's so funny because this person came up with, I mean, I think I'm just, I know it feels like the hardest place to practice in the world. maybe that's not true, but it feels like it's a very hard place to practice. Mm-hmm. And so there's a person in me who's like, I'm determined to practice here. Because not only does it go, I mean, I'm a small-town country girl, like, not only does it go against my, mm-hmm. like, I just want to be alone in nature thing, mm-hmm. I'm afraid of people, like, it is really, it challenges every mm-hmm. single thing mm-hmm. about me. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why I just feel like I want to make peace with those things. Mm-hmm. Make peace with those things. That's mm-hmm. one of the reasons why that I want to be there. And it just feels, I mean, again, maybe this sounds like a story of things that, you know, I guess it's hard to practice it everywhere, but it for this being, it's the hardest place. Mm-hmm. For what my karma is,
yeah.
It's the hardest place. Yeah.
Well, what I just saw when you were saying that is, inside here is the hardest place to practice. And then we each project out exactly what is most difficult for us, because that's what conditioning does.
Yeah.
Is put us, I mean, it's back to what Mickey was talking about. We each get put in the most difficult circumstances. See, I'm totally left out all the time. Do you see? I mean, come on. It's obvious it's true.
Yeah.
Whatever our deal is, that's the thing that we project out. So it's perfect.
Yeah.
Because then that's what we get to work with.
Yeah. And it's funny because as you were saying that, I'm realizing that, you know, I have carved out this really beautiful life there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I take a boat to work. I mean, it's like insane. You know, it's a ferry. Anyone can take it for $4. But
it's not just your boat.
But I don't know. I just, you know, this whole story about like it's so hard and blah blah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because that's a different person.
Yeah.
One person thinks it's like the hardest thing in the whole world, and then someone else goes, you know what? Wow, I have this amazing life.
That's why no suffering. That's it. It's simple. Yeah. I gotta keep it simple.
It's simple, and it can be done anywhere under any circumstances. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing that Buddha taught.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be based on circumstances. It can't be, because if it were, it would be conditional.
Mm-hmm.
If only this circumstance mattered, then all the others would matter too.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be no matter what.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, my New York life like cycled out. After 2.5 weeks here, and then yesterday it came in like unbelievable. Like, this is what I'm going to do over Labor Day weekend. I have to organize this whole thing. Those socks would go great with that skirt. Like, it's just like, you know, it's so real. It's so real. I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is what I felt like I was in. This is what I live with.
Yeah.
This, I got, during session yesterday, I was like, wow, this is how I am when I'm there.
Yeah.
And I really want to not suffer in this, because mm-hmm. it's just, it, like we said earlier, it's a wasted life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wasted life in this being.
Yeah.
So, and it's so, when all that stuff is going on, it's just don't suffer. Am I suffering?
Yep.
That's what I'm clinging to.
Just be here. Just be here.
I just made a basket for the team.
You made a basket for the team?
Yeah, when you're talking about, you know, I just realized that I was some...
I just made a basket for the team.
Basket, team, cantaloupe. Got it. You just made the shot.
I just made the shot.
Oh, okay.
So I just wanted to say, I just made the shot. I just realized that, you know, this morning, we've been talking about being present and, you know, how cool and speed with the breath. And I just realized somebody was sitting here going, yeah, it's really cool. I can't wait till the group's over. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to be so worth it for the rest of the day. And then it was like, duh. I love it. And so I just caught it. Made the shot. I got present.
Congratulations.
So,
welcome to the course.
One process does not leave
you. Yeah. So. Because, of course, you leave group and then, you know what, tomorrow.
You're right.
I think because it's Monday morning.
Yeah.
That's a perfect time to start a whole
start.
I'm going to get really present for the rest of my life starting tomorrow.
I was just thinking that you Jim was talking about New York and that, you know, I walk out my door and it's all this, and I thought, and that, you know, I could go to the monastery and walk out my door and say, oh my God, they're all wearing white, and then I'm like, it's too hot, it's too cold. I live in this tiny little, I mean, you know, whatever.
There's no running water in my house. I mean, this has got to be the hardest place to drive.
And then I can leave and say, God, I'm just back at the monastery.
Yeah, and we do.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we do. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Is not be where we are. It's all, I mean, that's what the grass is always greener.
Right.
I mean, all these cliches that point at these human experiences that we have.
Right.
And to realize, wow, anywhere I am, there's outrageous aloneness around me.
Mm-hmm. Or deprivation, depending on where I go.
Well, exactly. If I go up here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's right.
It's clear. I remember being really young and imagining where I would be and what my life would be like. And I would say, you know, you turned 60 or 40. I had no idea, of course. And it's just, I couldn't have imagined it because I didn't know what this practice was. Mm-hmm. And my life is just, it's just unreal how fabulous it is.
Yeah.
And what I live in is that I'm the wrong person in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Boy, that's probably true for all of us. Mm-hmm. And to get it, that you wouldn't have this life.
Well, I can't, that's a tough one because it's been very, it seems like my whole life, just the next thing is there.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be much in the way of working toward this or that,
right,
or choosing something, taking this path in a very conscious way.
Yeah.
It just turns into what it turns into. It just shows up. And the only kind of constant through it is that I'm the wrong person. And that I should be different.
Yeah.
You know, about, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I said just some kind of trolley line about I like games, and it's not okay. The correct spiritual person doesn't like games.
Yeah.
And the fact is, I do. And I gotta make peace with that.
Yeah, really. And to examine, what is that about?
Yeah.
What is that belief? Yeah, that?
Because it's just one example of a whole range of things.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I wonder if it ever occurs to you as you look at kind of that just one thing, life unfolding one thing after another, that you've been willing for every piece of it.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, but it is. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So, in other words...
I don't know if that's true. I'll have to look at that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Here, how about, you know, go to this place, collaborate on this project. How about this thing? Hey, you could live in this place. You could... if we say no, we don't end up in the, we'd end up somewhere else, but not here.
Yeah, I think what I'm looking at is there. You know, there kind of ultimately is no such thing as choice.
Mm-hmm.
It just. Whoever's there when it comes up, whatever direction is taken, if directions are taken. I don't know. It's, right now, I can see that there's nothing personal in it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that it would be impossible to be the wrong person in the middle of this life. It's just not possible. And that the only reason for that to be there would be to have a human in a perfectly glorious life and not receiving it. How are you going to maintain suffering in the middle of a perfectly great, beautiful life, which is really true for just about everyone on the planet on some level?
Yeah.
When we're present to it, this is a perfectly good life.
And the only lie in the one is that voice that says you should be different.
That's right. And it doesn't even really think you should be different or want you to be different.
Or it would have been.
It's just the same cul-de-sac that it keeps sending us down. Yeah. But it doesn't. The only reason it's doing that is to keep us in a suffering.
It alive.
That's right. To keep us in the conversation that people have been alluding to all morning. And if we're in conversation with it, it has life force, it has energy.
Mm-hmm. So there's a page in Here's Nothing Wrong where it's at the end of the conversation about telling who wants you to be a runner.
Yes.
You know, the bank itself hates the people who are never going to give you anything.
Right.
And I think it's the end of it. It talks about, so when those voices are the loudest, do something that will make it crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the very thing that it's not okay to do.
That's right.
So I'm going to do that.
We've worked back. Thank you. Thank you all.